It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A little hot mic there, but thank you for joining me. And, hey, it's a lovely day here for those of you back on the East Coast listening in through our stream. So glad to have you, and thanks for joining us. So there's so much to talk about today, and as I promised you, we were going to talk a bit about cocaine being dumped ahead of the DEA. And we'll talk about that later, either this hour or the next hour. It's an old matter, but the people that are participated or that were allegedly committing this behavior actually involved in the process of lynching Chief Ke Aloha. Now, again, understand something. I don't want to see you on the street and you tell me, well, we told you he was guilty. Well, the process hasn't taken place or played itself out. It's due process. And then when we find the decision of the investigators, the U.S. attorney, if there are indictments and if they go to court and he's found guilty, that's a different story. But I like to remind myself that so often do we pick up the paper and we see people were just really hammered and slammed for things that initially were drummed up and that looked guilty. And guilt is all get up. In fact, look at the situation with Chris Christie. Now, you know, Bridgegate, poor guy. Not that I'm sympathetic with him, but you run with the big dogs and sometimes you get pissed on. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's, you cannot be out there. But I think that Christie got a raw deal, and maybe he'll bounce back and bring some real good government to this thing called government. So, for those that are listening, 524-1080 is the number if you want to call in and chat with me or on different things. But I want to share with you something that is really, really interesting. I'm going to give you 50 million reasons this morning. 50 million reasons that you should pull down your curtains, lock your doors, go draw all of your money out of the bank and put it somewhere else. And when there is a city or state official or border water supply official, you should call the police. Really. I have 50 million reasons, folks, to tell you that this morning. And I'll start by saying there's a Bellows Airfield station or air station out there in Bellows near Waimanalo on the island of Oahu. Now you must understand, I brought you many of things, told you about the CC&Bs and the how you were being cheated and defrauded by Border Water Supply, estimating the bills when we didn't know they were estimating, people having high costs of estimating. And they say it was computerized, but then you learn that it was estimated. They start giving you a bill every other 2 weeks or whatever, doubling up and charging you for that and a processing fee and all. Kind of, as we described it, they're semi-autonomous and quasi-anonymous. And I think it's the coffee can money that's in the back room under the carpet for the politicians here or something. Something's going on. When I share with you what of this 50 million reasons. So I get this bit of information from a source that was connected with the Board of Water Supply, and they had a meeting, they being upper management. And that meeting involved a discussion. And that discussion was, well, first of all, let me go back. I'm in debt to the new administration in Washington, Mr. Trump and Ms. Connolly, because who would ever known how to describe all of this? We call it corruption, but how can corruption flourish so well here in the state of Hawaii, in city government, state government, federal government, you know? And Ms. Conway came up with the term alternative facts. And I'm going to thank her over and over and over, because it is basically probably the best description that will fit this situation that I'm going to tell you about. And that is, you know, that a lot of people that couldn't afford were had water bills that were extremely high. And as I said, that it was based on estimations. So that meant they just estimated how much they would take from you and how pissed off you would be for them taking from you. And you didn't have any recourse. The city council stands around and they give their little song with the violin, and oh, it's a shame, and then we're going to have to fix it and all. But there's no fixing. Because every way you turn as a taxpayer, as a citizen of this city and county of Honolulu in this state, they got their hands in your pocket, and they call it taxes. I call it robbery. And they'll rob you any way you can. So, without any further delay, the situation developed from this meeting, and it was a quiet meeting, a meeting that was these words whispered and told to each participant in the meeting. We have to keep this really close. This could be devastating. And I say, you darn right, Snoopy. Could be devastating. They were discussing a situation that has developed that reveals the Board of Water Supply has knowingly and fraudulently overcharged the Air Force nearly or $50 million. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to take the liberty, because, you see, we're dealing with alternative facts here, and I'll explain that, and I hope you respect me as you did before, and understand that at some point, you have to play. If you're going to run with the big dogs, you have to bark, bite, and just call it what it is and suffer the consequences. But if you're going to be with them, you got to learn to talk their language and behave as them. Be reckless, be evasive, just outright lie, disrespectful, discriminate against anybody. That if you're a friend of the media, then they all arms and they open up and chat with you and tell you everything. But at Bellows, that information that I got was rather alarming, because, you know, we didn't have all the facts, but what was told to me is that the discussion was about $50 million that were overcharged by the Board of Water Supply, and something to the effect that it was based on and caused by the Department Board of Water Supply. Reportedly, these are the allegations, and this is what I'm getting this information secondhand. I wasn't in the meeting, but I did, in fact, follow up on to confirm, one, that it did happen, 2, and asking the amount. And 3, just asking the basic questions and saying that I will be on my radio show talking about this and ask the Board of Water Supply to provide detail. And you can understand, as you would think that and expect, that before we go speaking on a matter, we would get our facts right. And we commit to that. That's the only way to go. No need of adding more trash to the heap of lies and cheats. So we're trying to sort through the facts. So having that bit of information, I wrote a letter to the Board of Water Supply wanting to get the facts, wanting and hoping that maybe as described it wasn't an overcharge, it was an oversight, a mistake, or something was wrong and it would be easily fixed and they would adjust the bills and give back the money if there was a problem that they had overcharged the United States Air Force. So, just I want to let you hear exactly what I wrote, and I apologize for having to read it to you again, but I just believe you'll appreciate it when I stick to the number of 50 million. Aloha, Mr. Lau. I'm writing to ask your assistance in obtaining information about concerns related to the billing of for water raised by the United States Air Force at Bellows Airfield. It is reported that Honolulu Board of Water Supply has overcharged the United States Air Force a large sum of money to or near the amount of $50 million. Now, mind you now, even though the source that I got the information from is more than reliable, I wanted to check myself, you know, because with this new medical marijuana law being passed, you know, you just never know. You, man could be, a woman could be on medication. So, you know, so you got to be careful, and no disrespect to those that provide me information, but I owe it to them as well as you and myself. So I asked them, please, could you please provide answers to the following questions? Is there any truth to the above statement? Has the United States Air Force contacted the Board of Water Supply about the United States Air Force being improperly or overcharged for water use? If yes, what is the time and what is the time frame of the billing period? What is the dollar amount of money the Air Force is claiming they have overpaid or have been overcharged? If the allegations are true, how did the overpayment or overcharging occur? If you have any documents or written communications between the United States Air Force and Honolulu Board of Water Supply related to the subject, please forward them to me by email today or at a later date. I would greatly appreciate your providing responses to my questions by the end of the workday, as I am planning on discussing this on my radio show and on this Sunday, today, January 29, 2017. So it's clear what I ask, and I know I have a tendency to incorporate a little eubonics in my language and then complicate that with some Mississippi, you know, vernacular, but it's okay. If we can't get it across that way, use smoke signals or something. But I got this response back from Miss Tracy Burgo, who's a really nice lady. It was very timely, as I had inquired and asked. So she wrote, thank you. Aloha, Mr. Cox. Thank you for your patience as we looked into this issue. The Board of Water Supply has been working to resolve the situation that led to the overcharges. It has also reached out to the Air Force and will be meeting with them to begin the process to address the situation, which involves, underscoring this, substantially less than $50 million. That's that alternative fact that Kellyanne talks about, that Mr. Trump has presented us with, and thank him for that so much. See, so they do it here, too. They use alternative facts. What the heck is substantially less than 50 million is that $49,500,000? Is it 48? Is it 46 million? What is the substantially lower? Is it 20 million? Or is it 30 million? But the point here is they overcharged. And they didn't volunteer it. It was my understanding in the meeting that transpired was that, and I'm only giving you secondhand information, but I'm going to be proud of this. I don't like to speak in secondhand, but when you get a response like this, you know, you make an intelligent approach and you respectable approach, like any other media person would send a letter. If I say it's 50 million, then you should be respectful, and you would be eager to seize the opportunity to clear the record so that Pilikia wouldn't be tossed around in the community on the wireless coconut. But instead, alternative facts engaged. So when we have more information, we will share it with you. If you have any questions, we will be happy to answer them on Monday. Meanwhile, may we request that you please submit a UIPA request for the specific documents you are seeking. Mahalo, and have a pleasant weekend. Tracy. So, there are so many things wrong about that, their response to me. And I don't know, maybe I'm placing my values on them or something, or projecting on them, but I would think that if someone write you a letter and have the half-truth about it, you would be eager as an entity, as an agency, to set the record straight. You wouldn't let things hang in the loft and just inviting a guy like Carol Cox to say, well, you know, if you don't respect me and you don't respect the public's right to transparency, even when we find out on our own, independent of your coming and telling us, you didn't make this public. So I do apologize. Sometimes I hear some of the knuckleheads out there go, well, you know, he's not media and he's not a reporter. Well, you damn right I'm not a reporter, because if this is a climate that the reporters, all these cases and matters that exist out there, and the only reason you get to write a story, if you're independent, you can write what you want. But if you're working for someone, you write what and talk about what they want. You get assigned the camera, you get assigned everything. So with due respect and apologizing in advance, $50 million is where I'm sticking. I'm stuck on that. I'm committed to that. I don't know the language of substantially less. 524-1080 is the number. I'd like to hear from you if you think this is worth the money or worth the charge, or is it an overcharge or is it a mistake? What is this? Is it something that we can once again tolerate, or have we become so numb that we are to expect every other morning a new revelation of a million squandered? So anyway, if you're interested, give me your opinion, your comments, 524-1080. But I'm just stuck in the middle of this, in that why would you not go to Water Supply, submit a statement telling us, declaring what the amount is, how much, and the details on how this thing developed? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments.
Good morning, Carol Cox.
Good morning.
The idea that money that, how much, 10 million, 50 million?
Well, 50 million, they say it's substantially less, but where do you stop? Where do you start?
Or is it because it has to do something with Red Hill and the pollution of the jet fuel, that they want to compensate the Department of Water Supply, want to use that money to repair that the tanks where the jet fuel leaked out, but then they should state it in by the Department of Water Supply.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're charging so much money, because they're going to have to salvage those tanks, and it's going to cost so much money to stop the leak of the jet fuel. Is that for that reason, possibly, why they're charging so much for it? I'll just listen to the radio and listen
well,
to your comments.
You can stay all night, because my observation, my opinion, and based on the facts that I know, the Board of Water Supply wouldn't be paying to fix the tanks. That the tanks are a responsibility of the military, or Department of Defense. So the Department of Board of Water Supply would have absolutely no say in the matter. And in fact, if that was the case, they wouldn't have to respond to me by saying it has also reached out to the Air Force and will be meeting with them. So this overcharge was done and conducted without the knowledge of the Air Force. So there was no gentleman's agreement, I would assume. There was no formal agreement, and they would be unrelated. That Bellows delivery of water at Bellows is absolutely nothing to do with the Red Hill contamination issues and preventive and mitigating factors that they're and measures that they're, you know, spending days, weeks, and months, and years talking about it.
I have a question then. Mm-hmm. The $50 million that the Department of Water Board charged, did they state the reason for that amount, $50 million?
Well, what I gave you in their response, they didn't bother. They just said that we've identified the problem, or we've reached out to the Air Force, and as I said, I asked for all documents and statements when this occurred and how and various other aspects of it. So, no, this is, I will just tell you this is the best way that I would bother attempt to describe it, is that they once again got caught with their hands in the cookie jar in a big way.
But how can that be if it went public that they charge the government military base $50 million? It's something, it's not clandestine and on the sly. It's a real bill from the Department of Water Supply.
I'm a little puzzled. I thought we were on the same sheet with the understanding that it was an overcharge. Let me read it again to you. The Board of Water Supply has been working to resolve the situation that led to the overcharges. It has also reached out to the Air Force and will be meeting with them to begin the process to address the situation, which involves substantially less than $50 million when we have more information. So,
So, Mr. Cox.
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
So, maybe it's in Bellows, but the consequences of the jet fuel affecting the whole water system all the way to Hawaii Kai might be one of the reasons. You know, it trickled down from there in Red Hill all the way to Hawaii Kai, and the consequences of that big problem, even though the federal government is going to fix those jet fuel tanks, mainly because it trickled down all the way to Hawaii Kai, and the Department of Water Supply's a responsibility to do all this repair work.
But the Board of Water the Board of Water Supply is not doing any work on any tanks related to Red Hill. I'm trying to avoid assuming. You know what that does for you and me, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get past that stumble point. The reality is, this is a simple, clear issue. If you listen to their comments, they say they've reached out. They didn't say they've sit and met with. And you would think that it would have, my request for information and clarification and transparency would have been met with a greater degree of respect, and that way for yourself and others out there that may be inclined to ask such questions, that would be avoided. But I guess that's the way you add pollution to the water and to the air and to the minds of people. This is a real simple one here, my friend. It's very simple. They overcharge, and it was something, again, I started to say, it was related, as I was told, about the meeting. I didn't know anything about the meeting. I didn't know anything about the $50 million, the number. I didn't know that there was even an overcharge. But based on the tidbits of information that I did get, I reacted and wrote a letter asking for greater detail. I did not get that. So, if the city, if you're suggesting that the Board of Water Supply is using bellows to basically, with the, you know, rob and inflate the dollar amount that they're going to charge over there at bellows so that they could clean those tanks that are not their tanks and they could do all of these things, then wouldn't you be fearful that, why would you not be a victim of that too? There, if you were to be the Board of Water Supply and put a gun to the head of, so to speak, to the head of citizens or residences and overcharge them too, which we found that they did overcharge many of people, right? You recall that discussion.
Yeah, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
To really get down to this issue, to really focus on who made that bill, the employee at the Department of Water Supply, I suggest you find who's the person that wrote up that charge, $50 million, within the Department of Water Supply, and question that person. Who said it includes $50 million? Who in the Water Department, accountability, who is the guy,
right,
or who is the person that wrote up that $50 million bill and then questioned that person?
Well, you must understand, I understand that there is some cases moving at the city prosecutor's office doing just that on other matters with Board of Water Supply. So it's not my job to call that worker because, first of all, I wouldn't be able to because they have such a gag order on, and you lose your job if you were, even though where you felt that you felt religious and said, I got the Holy Ghost and I'm going to just stand out and tell it like it is, then you and your family will be living on the street in a matter of weeks.
Let me tell you something. What I observe with government employees, they just give their first name. They should give their full name. So in their work, they hold themselves accountable to what they do. I don't think there's no any criminal intent by any of the public in the public when they work with government officials. I think they're highly paid and they should be accountable. Some of them don't even wear a tag with their name when you go to these government facilities. It seems like they want to remain anonymous, and they don't want to be accountable when they do processing for you.
Well, let me.
Why is that? The soldiers live and die for us, so we in public.
Being respectful to you, if I could, and don't take this personal, but I'm gonna borrow your comments and our conversation to illustrate to you why employees just don't go out there and throw themselves on the tip of the sword. They used to do that because there was a system that they could go to the Equal Opportunity Employment Office and file a complaint, but they've gutted that and you got a toothless, useless Civil Rights Commission here. Number one, so why would a guy, and then based on, let's back up and please understand, I'm only going to seize this opportunity use your situation as in your comments earlier. This is clear cut. Bellows has nothing to do with Red Hill. So when we, you and I, as citizens or taxpayers, when someone does come forward, I tell you, sit here on the radio show, and you, then you present to me that there might be some doubt, and there, you introduce a theory. So you, where is that worker at now? That worker is naked and exposed, and we're down. And this is typical of what happens with citizens. There are people that will go to bat for you that works for government and will tell all. But then the citizens have a tendency of biting the bait and taking the bull, you know, and going with that when the politicians come. This is yet another colorful example of that attempt. I ask them specific questions based on information that an employee of the agency came forward. So a lot of this depends on how you and others and I, how we look at something and call it what it is rather than introducing, becoming theoretical. Again, I only heard that it was $50 million, that it was based on, and again, I'm taking the liberty of speaking in loosely because I reached out. So I'm going to repeat what it was that I was told and let them correct it. I was told that it was based on, the charges were based on the city of the Board of Water Supply had stated that there was a large meter, and that meter itself was to be disconnected and not used anymore and used in determining the bill, and that they install other meters, smaller meters. But instead of disconnecting that, the Board of Water Supply somehow continue to use the bigger meter. I don't know that to be the facts. I'm just conveying these are the allegations, and that is what led me, based on those tidbits that I had, I took the trouble of reaching out to the agency, asking specific questions, telling them that I would be discussing on the radio show. And you would how about you? Would you have seized the opportunity to set the record straight? Or would you?
I would. Me and myself, you probably know me. My name is Glenn. I talked to you many times.
Yeah.
And I'm an advocate also. I'm a constitutional community advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as big as you in the...
I'm working on a Glenn, I'm actually doing more exercise now. And you know, I'm teasing with you. You say I'm bigger. I'm not big at all. I'm just a simple person who dare to do what others won't do for the sake of losing my dog or whatever it is that people come up with. And some of them, you know. But I take to heart what you're saying. But. Just understand that I think, and I was told that there was a complaint file. Now, you would think that, again, I'm being repetitive and repeating myself, but if someone wrote you a letter and it was you felt that it was erroneous and you felt that that person had a right to it, they did, in fact, say it was an overcharge, right? So, in speaking to what you had, your theory that maybe it was going to be used for money there to fix Red Hill. Well, why would you overcharge them? Wouldn't you think that if they were going to use that money for fixing Red Hill, there would have been a gentleman's agreement, a formal agreement that we're going to deliver water now at a higher rate, and that would be simply resolved by them writing me back and saying, this matter is, and refer to these documents, here's the agreement, here's the consent decree, or whatever it is we agreed on. The government agreed to pay more money per gallon or per 1,000 gallons.
But, you know, Mr. Carol Cox, mm-hmm. when somebody has that large sum of money, don't state, you know, that's a lot of money. It's like premeditated. I mean, $50 million is a lot of money, you know, Mr. Carol Cox. They got to explain themselves when they're charging that kind of... that kind of bill. You know what I mean, Mr. Carol Cox?
Yeah, well, you know, there was a question. Who does checks and balances on the Air Force side? You know, that like you're saying, who's the person that looks at the books and See, making sure that it's consistent and we're not being overcharged, defrauded, or just underpaying, you know? I'm sure the government would want to pay its rightful amount, right?
Yeah, well, anyway, Mr. Talcott, this is the first time I heard you this year. Auli Makahiki ho to you.
Aloha. And, you too, brother.
Take care.
How's the Big Island today?
I'm not on the Big Island. I used to live there, but I live in Honolulu now. My name is Glenn Y. Yamasaki. I live in Kaka'ako.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Talcott.
Hey, thank you, brother. Aloha.
Thank you.
Hi. I wish, folks, I honestly wish I had answers. And again, some may say that, oh, how wrong of you to say when they say that it's substantially less, then it's a debate. I'm repeating what I was told, and the joy of this is that any way that you twist it or flip it on its back or this situation, I'm half right. And half right means that the taxpayer once again was being soaked. So whether are we happy that it's not 50 million, substantially less than 50 million? Is it 1 million? But it was an overcharge. So the bigger question is, how many other places such as this, let's take condominiums, let's take bigger commercial users of water. Let's look at the industrial use. How much money can they overcharge and it goes undetected? So this begs the question, does this agency need an overhauling? Does it need to change its semi-autonomous status? Does the legislators have to do that? Should they do that? Or should there become a board to regulate, an independent board to monitor and audit? Or should there be a major, massive audit to take care of these situations? Now, many of you don't know that, I think it's called the ME, one of those little black transmitters that they were going to put in the boxes so that the inspectors could drive by and read the meter from their car. The bulk of those do not work now. So how do they? And if you really want to know, this conversation probably goes over many of you and you think, you know, it's not that important. But there's issues right now with the Boulder Water Supply and the Environmental Services as it relates to sewer charges. So imagine we're talking about Bellows. I don't know if they've come up to snuff and put in sewer, but you have a home and you get charged for the water coming in and you get charged for the sewer that's going out, the water that's going out of the sewer. So you're being charged at both ends. How accurate are their numbers? How accurate is the collection that the Environmental Services is collecting? So there's a lot of questions, and actually how it relates to you, the listener, or you, the taxpayer. It's pretty interesting. I think that there should be an audit. I don't know if a forensic audit. I mean one in detail to find out. So if they were charging $50 million, overcharging them, let's say, or overcharging a substantially lower amount, what happened to that money? Does it go into the coffers? Because if they're billing based on multiple meters measuring the same delivered water, What happened to that money? Does that money get shaved off and pushed to the side and become money that does not show up in accounts? It's in when they balance the books, you know. They know how many million gallons per day and this entity uses. And they know how much they're charging per million gallons. So if they realize that they're delivering X million gallons per day and they're bringing in more money than you're delivering water, bells and whistles should go off. So I'm saying that, and not because they didn't respect me and didn't give me a respectable answer. They gave me everything I needed. I was wanting to make sure that the situation did exist, first of all. The mechanics of it and all the minor details is fine because I asked for clarification, clarity, transparency, and they blew me off. I asked for documents, they blew me off. See, the state law, just simply, and I shared this with you on our show, the state law only requires you to make a formal request for information. You can do it by verbal. You can do it by in writing. But a verbal one serves the same purpose, satisfies the law. Because this is about public access to public matters. This is not a private, even though it's semi-autonomous, it's still the business of the people. And it's still of great concern and becomes your concern and impacting you and the taxpayer, because the United States Air Force is, in fact, the people. So when we say that we are told that $50 million were overcharged, I could rephrase that and say that we're told that the people of the United States was overcharged by Board of Water Supply for $50 million. So it's not like the Air Force is a living entity, and I know many of you know that, so I'm not going to be insulting. But again, something's wrong here. It repeats itself. I believe that there should be many people being incarcerated on the manner in which they have handled the border water supply manner and the operations of border supply, the monies that were, and we've had these flare-ups, you know, okay, border water supply charges a person $1,000, and it flares up, and Kimberly Pine steps out there and get her fame for 5 seconds and don't do a damn thing, and it repeats itself. And I'm also trying to follow up on something, and I don't have all the facts, but this, I've gotten this information on several occasions from several different sources that the Board of Water Supply on the, if you're a politician or a person of importance, there's a code on your, it says that you're an elected official on your board, on your computerized screen there at the Board of Water Supply. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the politicians get a break, don't have to pay for utilities? Why would they need to know who lives where? I would think that you would be worried about security, because if you look at some of the legislators, for example, when they fill out their financial disclosures, they can fudge the lines and not even put their address on there and just say they have this house and this property and declare who financed it and what have you, failing to declare or put in writing their actual address. So why would the Board of Water Supply need to have that? Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment, question.
I just had a question.
Yeah.
What's the period of time that this $50 million charge occurred? Was that 1 year of water use or 10 years? Bellows is such a small facility. A $50 million charge for water sounds very exorbitant for what few facilities are located on Bellows.
Well, we asked them what was the time frame, and they just blew us off and didn't answer. And you would think if they say they reached out to the Air Force, they would have had established, and they would know what time frame. So I wish I had better answers for you, but when you're
dealing with... Since you're questioning and want to find out, what is the Air Force doing? Are they trying to get reimbursed to find out what the reason is of the overcharge?
Well, I don't know with all of the details, but another portion of the information coming out of that first meeting that I was tipped off about, that was no one supposed to talk about, was that the Air Force had filed a complaint. So if that's true, that then conflicts with they say they reached out to the Air Force. So you got to understand, I'm standing across the street watching something unfold. I really don't know. Hopefully, come Monday, we'll speak to the Air Force and ask for their letter if they've in fact written a complaint. And hopefully.
When I get my water bill, every item is stated as to how much gallons, how much sewage, and how much water is still. Mm-hmm. If there's a $50 million overcharge, somebody might have added a couple zeros to the bill, whereas the bill is calculated on how much sewage and water is used.
Yeah, well, again, this water bill would be based on the sewage. That's handled separately by the environmental services. So, again, wouldn't it be simple, though, rather than leaving us in the lurch or in the dark, it makes good for good radio talk, but on the other hand, wouldn't it be better if we wrote them and asked them for specifics, they would just be kind enough and forthright?
Basically, Mr. Cox, mm-hmm. I worry about paying my water bill now. I couldn't care less what problem the Air Force has with their water bill. They have a problem. They should take care of it with the...
Well, yeah, but...
The water supply, I couldn't care less about
see, you got
it.
The money.
It's taken over 1 hour of your radio show.
You got the money, right? But there are some that don't, Ed, or Bob or Joe. But you understand?
Well, I'm saying...
But I'll take 2 hours.
Everybody's concerned it should be the Air Force.
Yeah, maybe they are, but maybe the Board of Water Supply just didn't give us the details. But you got the money. You can afford to have your tax dollars squandered. You got the looks and the money.
I can't afford to be overcharged.
Yeah, but I mean, the way you sound, I applaud you for being so successful in life. But see, the reality is some of us that have to pay into the coffers, we're not as successful.
I'm saying basically is if anybody should be concerned about this, it's the Air Force.
Well,
I couldn't care less about it.
But again, I'm saying to you, good for you, but there are others that are. So,
I don't know.
It's government of the people.
If you didn't bring it up, nobody would ever know about it.
Exactly, and that's why I'm here. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for pointing that out. And don't you forget... Okay, well, we'll be back in the next hour, and so take care. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carolcox.com or live streaming at kwai1080am.com. And don't forget, on Sundays at 1 o'clock, the Carol Cox Show airs on Olelo at Channel 54, and on Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And we sit there and talk about things that the Air Force and everyone else don't care about. But anyway, we'll be back shortly.
You got in trouble. jail. The judge asked me, would I go your bail? I couldn't refuse, cause I never failed. You can't beat that with a hammer and a nail. No. Look at him. I gave you everything that I could afford. You keep begging, just asking for more. Gave you a yacht, what you said you want to say. You can't beat that with a hammer and a nail. No.
KWAI Honolulu, K10.
Like your mother.
Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We'll look at everything, and I was trying to find a document that we brought in to share with you in answering to some of the questions that one of the callers had answered. But if I locate it, I'll get back on it. But we wouldn't want to spend more than an hour on this subject of $50 million. So thank you for calling in and let me know. And I just can only say that money is money when it comes to people that don't have it. And our federal taxes and all of that money goes to issues and things and functions such as the DOD budget. And this is part of the budget they would have. If they paid that $50 million, it would have come out of a budget that somewhere was once in your little hot hands and my little hot hands. So don't mean to diminish the importance of this, and thanks for reminding me that that some of us are in the upper 1%, so we don't have to worry about that. But a little guy like me, I'm worried about every nickel. So anyway, and I'm sure there's many of you out there. So 524-1080 is the number if you have any comments or questions. But I told you early in the first hour, I'm looking at a letter that August 11, 2008, and it was written under from a very prominent lawyer here in town, and I'm going to hold the names off because I'm looking for more documents, and then once I get certain documents that I'm hoping to get, I will come and give you the full blast. But the reason this interested me, I've got this and I'm thinking, well, the chief is being hammered, chief of police, Kealoha, and I'm not defending Mr. Kealoha or Chief Kealoha. He has sufficient legal representation to take care of himself in that. But for an understanding of you and me, I came across this document, and I'm trying to understand how, when you listen to the content of this letter, and you say to yourself, wait, there are people that are involved in this letter that are involved in the hacking and the lynching of Kealoha, because he hasn't been proven guilty of anything. Now, he may have gone behind closed doors with the Ethics Commission, and, I'm sorry, I call it the Ethics Commission, the Police Commission, and you can, I mean, they were holding their tongues in the beginning, and the composition of the Police Commission is wanting or lacking a lot. You got one fiery woman there, this former judge, and she's going to set it straight and take him out back and hang him in the tree and get it over with. And you got the other one who's mild-mannered and don't know if he's on start, stop, or go, you know. But this letter, I'm going to leave the names out and some other information, but I'm in receipt of your letter. This is the Office of a Disciplinary Counsel this letter was written to. And there's two of them, and basically, and there's a federal court number. So if you think this is just bogus, there's a number. I'm in receipt of your letter notifying me that based on your office review of the above referenced matter, it has been determined that a finding of unprofessional conduct is unsupported by clear convincing evidence and no further investigation to be conducted will be conducted. Frankly, I'm disappointed in the conclusion, particularly when blank admitted to the that he had no authority to access retirement accounts with the city and county of Honolulu, also admitted that more than $500,000 in cash. And this is a lawyer is being accused, and this is what this party is claiming, a certain lawyer is behaving in this fashion. Took $500,000 safe deposit box at the Hawaii National Bank were drug proceeds, which is supported by the two receipts turned over to you by sign. So this individual is writing a letter to the ODC, Office of Disciplinary Counsel, and he's saying that $500,000 were taken out of a safe deposit box or what have you, and by an attorney representing him. And this money, and he's acknowledging this money was from drug proceeds. And he even gave receipts. Former girlfriend and a client of the lawyer at that time. Furthermore, you did not interview any of the witnesses that were available, nor have I been provided with a copy of your response, of their response to the allegations of ethical misconduct. In addition, evidence was presented showing that with the assistance of his secretary and a notary public prepared three fraudulently notarized powers of attorney, one of which then used to liquidate my pension account worth $177,000, and while using the other two to dispose of properties, vehicles, and other assets before the DEA seized it and moved for forfeiture, all without my knowledge or permission. Advice was concluded, included having a certain lady to dispose of approximately, now listen to this, approximately 1 kilo of powder cocaine secreted in an jointly shared apartment, which the DEA failed to uncover. Now, this is a person who's dealing drugs, who's coming clean, he's been caught, and he's now saying, my attorney squandered. Now, this again, this is in 2008, and many of you will say, well, that's old news, but if you're actively involved still, it's fair game to ask that, and it's as long as these things are written informally and official. Certainly, these admissions and evidence submitted meet the standard of clear and convincing and is entitled to more consideration than you have given it. Clearly, actions is misappropriating funds and representing that at the same time as he represented another person are in violation of 1.7 of the Hawaii Rules of Professional Conduct. You indicated to me in earlier conversations that Office of Disciplinary Counsel has a mandate not to investigate complaints involving apparent criminal conduct, even though that same conduct is unethical in nature, and the United States Attorney's Office is the appropriate agency to conduct the investigation. Such a mandate is illogical, as it puts a premium on criminal dishonesty over ethical violations and, in effect, whitewashes their conduct. As a result, justice has been denied and has been deprived of four, and I've been deprived of four separate bases for lowering my sentence to $500,000 in drug proceeds. If he were to get his money, that was drug money. The guy is saying this is drug money, and my lawyer took it. Now, and he's filing a formal letter with the ODC, and he's reminding ODC, well, I gave you that information and ethically, but asking you to forward it to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And in fact, the recipients of this were Judge Susan Oki Mulwe and Attorney Assistant U.S. Michael Kawahara. So, again, I'm going to try to get through a bit of this, but the part where he's saying that he's admitting he was a drug dealer, he's admitting that his attorney helped him got rid of a pound of a bag of a kilo of cocaine, powder cocaine, and it's my understanding that some of these people are still practicing law and involved to some degree in this effort on Chief Kealoha. So the question is, how can this kind of behavior not get you disbarred and jailed and investigated. But yet you can be part of a team of people or an entity that's reaching out to incarcerate, prosecute the chief of police. So he goes on to say, during this time, at a certain time, he told me that she had some coke, and a lot of girls did coke and smoked weed. This went on till the day I got arrested. When I got arrested, the money on the dining room table was waiting for her to count and help package. I was selling the drugs, and she was in charge of the money. After getting arrested, I met with my attorney, and who had previously represented her at the FDC, and told him about the money in the safe deposit box. He told me to sign a blank general power of attorney and that he would get the money out. When that did not work for him, he then returned to with two blank limited powers of attorney forms for me to sign. During both entirely separate instances on the different days I signed, there was no notary present, nor did I sign a notary book. He told me that he did not want the DEA to get it because they had the safe deposit key. He also told me that the DEA kept a lot of the drug money they recovered. I don't remember exactly when he and others got the money out of the safe, but kept it in his office. He told me that it wouldn't give a receipt until contacted a CPA named to intervene. Then gave $100,000 to one person and $300,000 to my son, which he in full gave to another person at a later date. I asked my son why, and he told me, she told him that I said it was all right. I did not have phone calls with visits or could not talk to anyone regarding what she would be doing with the money. At no time did I tell, did he tell me I could get a possible reduction in my final sentence if I turned over my drug proceeds to the governor. After Lank said that the count of the money, but wasn't sure how much the money was there, I knew that it was a little over $500,000, but he later told me that it was little over $400,000. I asked, and he told me the same thing, that it was a little over $400,000. What could I say or do? I knew nothing. I knew something was up. But because Blank kept saying that he was doing what was best for me regarding my legal situation, I went along with it. A short time later, I found that the DEA missed a kilo of cocaine, and he told where and what it was. Again, at no time did he tell me I could get a possible reduction in my final sentence if I turned over the kilo of cocaine to the government. Later confirmed with me that she found it and it opened it. After that, I do not know what happened. So anyway, it's filled with things that you would ask, how on earth, if, and there is a case, there's a formal case, or was a formal case. The party writing this is was a very reputable attorney, person, and some are still around, but what grabbed me was, gee, if any of this was remotely, how could someone not be punished, and how can the ODC not refer this matter to a criminal case or to the others who have it prosecuted? And I don't know. I saw that, and I thought, well, I'll just share that with you because, again, we're out there listening, and we see on TV, well, once again, the chief of police is, you know, we're going to get him to retire. We're going to get him to resign. And I'm thinking, wow, if that was me, how would I feel? There's no No one has said I'm guilty of a darn thing. Nothing. But I'm to be treated as such. And I can only hearken back and look to say that that's funny. Politicians get caught, and they pay their little fine. And in fact, sometimes it's so laughable that the amount of money is a joke. If it's campaign spending commission writes it off. Gives them a little, it's not even a slap on the hand. Other people pay their fines. And Romney Cocciola, caught red-handed, didn't go to jail, didn't do anything. So the question is, Rod Tam, we say that he stole money and did these things, but did nothing more than others did. Why is it that some people go to jail in this town and others go to paradise and continue to make money and live and happily forever after? Why is it that? So, again, not defending the chief of police, but just to say that if corruption, we all keep talking about corruption, and we talk about, and especially our arguments is that the guy named Donald J. Trump is bad because he's going to bring his friends in and he's going to have them corruption and he's going to do this. And I'm about to conclude that the reason people here in Hawaii, especially our politicians, when they speak out about Donald Trump in opposition to him, I don't think they're questioning whether he's right or wrong. I think they're saying they know that what they're doing is probably illegal as all get up. They have like a band of thieves. And I think they're worried more so that this may bleed over, even though they're the last to vote and count. The count occurs because of where we're located when the elections occur. But they may be being watched, or maybe there's an example. Bring the FBI here. How can people, documents that say that an attorney participated in the destruction and obstruction of justice and dumping cocaine and what have you and what have you and on and on. How can that be? So many of you out there, I talk to you and you say, well, you know, that chief, he's dirty and he's this and he's that. And it's like, wow, you know, I thought this was a place where you're guilty when you're found guilty and you're innocent until proven guilty. But I guess it just depends on who you are or the position you are and you know, you look back and you think, I just read where the chief of police had high marks and was kept and given a new contract. And then shortly thereafter, bam. And so the chief of police gets the bullseye on his back. Caldwell gets a threat of new legislation where you can't work for some in two places if you are a public official. So that kind of I don't know. It sounds good, but I don't know if that bill is going to go anywhere. If it does, I'd be shocked because many of the politicians or the legislators have second jobs, and so. Are we going to give them more money and change the Constitution and all and make them convene for a year-round or 9 months or longer and give them a better salary so they don't have to work two jobs? I don't know. 524-1080 is the number if you have a comment or question. Glad to hear from you. But so much said about that. And changing gears here, shifting gears. So we know that In the past, we had PLDC. And PLDC, Public Land and Dock, came about with Mr. Neil Abercrombie. And you think that was all over with, and then you got sustainable this and that. Well, there's the something else is developing here with Governor Ige. I've told you about how the nonprofit organizations have infiltrated Department of Land and Natural Resources. Well, it didn't stop. It's gotten bigger. The IUCN, even it's suspected, it's reported that even the reports, the state of state speech that the governor gave, a major contributor to that speech and writing of it was a nonprofit entity, putting words in the mouth. Now they're putting people, we've shown they put their people in state offices that are not employees of the state. Suzanne Case hires people that and bring them in and let them work and impede the work of the civil service people and taking and using resources. And now we see that the governor is lending himself to that. The Global Island Partnership is featured in the UN publication, and this is the GIP and the Sustainable and Green Hawaii. The Aloha Plus Challenge was inspired by other islands and are committed to learning together and sharing best practices. Together we will work with other islands, island leaders, to share the scale of Aloha Challenge model in locally and culturally appropriate context. And this is somewhat frightening, because if you've removed all of your civil service powers or interests and it's being led and motivated by nonprofit organizations, then why do we need government employees? Why are we paying and why are we budgeting and why are we taxing people to pay public employees a salary and their benefits and buying equipment for them when they are not used or to do their job or allowed to do their job without interference? So there's things in the legislature now being floated and approached. They want $15 million, for example, for fences, to install fences around. And the problem is, I'm told, there are no plans. Suzanne Case hasn't provided any plans. So I suspect much of the lands that they would first go and put fences around at our expense, and they probably won't use state workers. They'll probably use contract workers. And then in turn, spend the money, and we wouldn't know how much they're spending, how much they're pocketing. And so, give you an example. Talking about this, the Aloha Challenge, this is an important opportunity to build capacity locally and to support implementation of the global climate sustainable development goals, and will be lasting legacy of Hawaii and island leaders after the IUCN World Conservation Congress, said Celeste Connors, Executive Director of Hawaii Green Growth and professor at John Hopkins University, SAIS. I'm here to tell you that this is Act 55. You know, we had sustainable things going on way back called hotspots, if you remember that. And every other session or election, we get the environmentalists or the people that claim they're conservationists and what have you come up with these new buzzwords. But at the end of the day, they all, no matter what it is they call themselves, what it is that they're proposing, they all are attempting to tap their tentacles in the coffers of state and federal government. And they don't have, they in the form of grants and what have you, they don't have any responsibility in reporting specifically. They can get our money, and we would never know what they're doing with it until they write some report or something, or was investigated or done an audit. But other than that, we would never know. So I think very quietly, Governor David Ige is contributing to this climate of private entities getting in the way and impeding the work of state employees and civil servants. I can't say that I don't want to be harsh, but I listened to his speech, and there were a couple places that I know that there are speech writers and what have you, but a couple of those words escaped him because he found himself struggling to pronounce them. And that wasn't just losing your place in the teleprompter. This was just simply, it suggested that what I've been reading and suspecting, that he's really not, he's been commandeered, so to speak. He's not running the show. And I want to know who this lady is, Ms. Connors, and how did she get so cozy and in with the governor? And is the governor allowing or listening to other, just in general, other nonprofit organizations? And then they're talking about better agriculture and whatever. Where are they out there? Are they working with Ho'opili? Working in opposition to it? What are they doing? Are they just sucking up money and doing their own special pet projects? Now, I'm supportive of the impacts of global warming and the effects that it may have on our environment, but the environment will take care of itself. It will give it time and it will adjust. Now, how it affects people, I don't know, but if does she have all the right answers? Or is it that bring your money to the tables and add your money to the state monies and then let's see how that works, rather than we give you our money and you manage it and then we then having to pay salaries and all of the benefits and buy equipment and pay building utilities and all to house people that are not doing any work. So that's the... It's painful just knowing what's going on. And I understand that in the legislature now there's this... I told you about the CFEU, the Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit, that was started up in about 2013. Now, I'm still crunching numbers, but just in preliminary fashion here, We were able to get some of their stats. And 25% of the stats that they give to the government in their report, their annual report, is mind-boggling. The 25% of their work that they reported as being produced by the Communities Fisheries Enforcement is actually done by regular enforcement individuals. For the past 4 years, approximately 101 cases were made by this Community Fisheries Enforcement Unit, but they ended up with some $2 to $3 million. Fancy boat. And they're only required to cover 10 miles of a stretch of along the beach. So we found some interesting things going in there. In 2014, they had 66 cases, they report. And of that 66 cases, 39% of them, or 26 of them, were made by regular uniform officers, not in the enforcement. So they're padding these numbers, folks. This is Suzanne Case. This is what she is allowing. And they're at the legislature begging for money. And she's trying now to get more funding for this unit that really is not efficient, not effective. And, for example, in 2015, they had 39 cases, they report. But 33% of them, of the 39 cases they made, they claim they made, 13 were made by regular patrol officers. And they are strapped with cars and trucks that might function, may not function. They're told not to go out to work at certain times. They get calls for nets, as we talked about last week, that in the water illegally, they can't go. But then Suzanne Case finds it important to take their stats, nothing can do with that, and pad the numbers, and then go into the legislators and ask for more money to fund a unit that is dysfunctional or no function at all. So this may not mean anything to you, and then So one of the things is, you hear me say that they report they have 39 or 8 cases. And May to June 2013, they reported 8 cases. 2 of them were made by the officers. But here's a funny thing. Some of their cases are repetitive because they catch, let's say they catch me and I have octopus and I have out of season or out of, on the size or what have you, and some other, so they give me 3 or 4 citations. I'm only one person, but they then count that as stats, when in fact it should just be 1 citation with multiple charges. So when people have to cook their books and this, for example, this boat that they bought, and they bought themselves beautiful, I think they were Tacomas or some four-wheel drive trucks and all. And there's 3 men that work in that unit. Now, we can't get coverage at night on Maui or anywhere else. And yet, now they're not funded. They have no money. They ran out of money. Last year they attempted to get money, but the legislators did not fund it. So this year they're back wanting to get it funded and put it inside of a bill to the legislators to try and deceive them. So conservation, sustainability. We have all of these fancy terminologies and Governor Ige is lending himself to that. He's been swept up off of his feet, and he's buying it all. And these people have more access than they really should. But I don't know, some of the legislators I've spoken to is that Suzanne Case is very, very adamant about certain things with her approach to the legislators, and she just don't even bother to go to some of them because they're going to tell her no, so she makes an end run around them. But only with the blessings of the governor. So, PLDC, Act 55. I think that we're stuck once again with the same kind of behavior, and all that it was going to be back then was to reward special interests with money and state resources. So there's something terribly wrong with this, and I have a ton of stuff that I'm going to try and bring to the tables here in the coming week, 2 weeks of coming, and I myself are just completely dumbfounded as the involvement of these people. And when we file a complaint, the Ethics Commission say that it's wrong, but we can't get them to do anything. Suzanne Case does not respond. The legislators write her, and then she basically sloughed them off. So we are, I'm hoping that maybe the right answer is to, there's someone out there should present themselves as candidates for governor. I don't need you to take my word for it, but my assessment and my observation and seeing how, one, if you write David Ige a letter, you're lucky they even open it. You're double lucky if they even read it, and you're really lucky if they even respond to you. I have letters that I've sent his office, and they don't even bother to acknowledge they received it. So that's why I'm sitting here wasting your time and my time talking about this, and I'm sure that many of you would probably love to talk about Trump, but the rest of the world is having a fun time doing that and being critical of him. But I'm kind of excited for the wrong reason, probably a sick reason, that Trump won, because basically here in Hawaii, we get to see ourselves just how tricky our legislators are, how tricky the process is. And what's really interesting is that I'm hoping that many of you don't get caught up in the Trump bashing. And I mean, as much as it feels good and pointing out and having your shows on TV, the news shows, strike out at him and talk about, and I'm not supporting Trump. I mean, there are things that I find to be repulsive. But I suggest that you not sit around and let your local government screw you while you're looking at Trump and being critical in the rallies and whatever. How about a rally against the state? You know, many of you are saying the refugee issue, and that's a hot button issue. That's really hot now, you know. And I'm really, this morning I asked myself, why am I bothered? Why do I bother to care for people that got the nice homes and luxury cars and well manicured lawns and all of that, and money in the bank and penny loafers and aloha shirt off and on the plane? And they're so worried about Trump and what he did to the refugees. Well, why didn't we see a greater outcry and an outpouring of love and aggressiveness on the part of all of you that are crying now about the refugees? There are circumstances around the world that we should have our doors open for those that have helped us and aided us and reach out and help people. But I think that a lot of you that feel that the liberal side, and I'm liberal like you, but this is an observation, you seem to get great pleasure in striking out at Trump, but you won't say a damn thing about your local government. People are starving here in this state. People are dying on the bridges. Children are sleeping with centipedes and vermin. And you're nowhere to be found. You talk about the refugees. We got people that are being incarcerated for small drug, nonviolent crimes, and you piss and moan. Get them off the street. But you're eager to reach out and fight for the refugees. Could we not see these people here as refugees, our own relatives? You drive by Y and I thought the other day as I drove by the camp there, at the homeless camp at Y and I, and I thought to myself, this is the same image that we see on TV for the Syrians, for the Iraqi, for the Afghani. We have Tulsi Gabbard going over to Syria, and I heard some of everybody's applauding her and great. But damn it, do something about the people, the refugees here. They're being impacted by a system, a government. They've been defrauded out of the house because of their own earnings and what have you, because of illness or because they didn't have the money to fight the system, to the basic challenge of the ownership of land or lost your land because they couldn't pay taxes. They didn't get thrown out with a gun or no one burned them out, but, you know. So where's the outcry, liberals? It's time for a reality check with all of us. I think, I'm hoping that we don't get so buried in focus on Trump that we completely lose sight that we still have a homeless problem here. We still have drug problems here. We still have problems where children don't go to bed or go to bed without eating, with growling stomachs or empty stomachs. No medical care. What about that refugee? But then I guess that's the new American way. We're okay if we strike out at Trump and point fingers and say that he was cruel and unusual punishment for stopping these refugees, but not a single one of you will go down there and tell your legislators and your mayor that time's up. You've done nothing for us. Housing. You gave away Kakaako. We got us all living in vermin, pollution, contaminants. Even your prize of the Koalina, the traction starship of the Pacific for vacations, signs posted, contaminated water with bacteria. Do not swim. Swim at your own risk. Is this what the refugees is running from? I guess the only difference is what we don't see the children. What about the refugee that goes to Queen because he got sick, sleeping under a bush at Kakaako, get medicated, taken to the hospital, medicated, and released with just his underwear on and their walker? And we want to rush off as liberals and complain about Donald Trump. It's time for a reality check, folks. And if you don't like it, what I'm saying, I've invited you to call in. You can help yourself and call in. But again, let's not be led down the path of become the haters that we claim that Donald Trump is. Because if you forget your brother who lives right next door to you, in the bushes, and you're selling this and pushing this, and Tulsi went over and talked to the Syrian president. Oh, wow, man, damn, that's so great. But ask the people in Waianae, would they love to have had relief and had somebody to go and speak to them? And many of them are Native Hawaiian, and that, based on the political situation, there's dispute and contentions that they still own the country. It was taken from them illegally. So I believe they would be refugees. But nobody give a damn. No one cares and reach out and go out and fight for them. Because they're bad for business. They want something for free. They need to get a job. They made bad decisions. Well, could the refugees have made bad decisions? Could they have should have gotten a job? Well, no, probably because political conditions and what have the climates prevented them from getting jobs. Probably the same as right here in Hawaii. Political conditions. People selling it out. Not caring. Not following through. So, we have a big problem. And it ain't Donald Trump. You know, I feel that if the people are true to spirit and true in their hearts, they won't take sides. As vehement and as vociferous as you are against Donald Trump, you should turn those same barbs toward your state capitol and your city government who have received federal monies. We talk about the sanctuary cities. This city has received federal monies to better treat homeless people, mentally ill, and people on drugs and all of those things, and much of that money has been squandered. Are they refugees? Nah. They're just people wanting something for nothing. They ought to get a job. They made bad choices. You know, that's what this is about. So, I hope that as I see things develop and go on, and you don't have to listen to what I say, but I really would like to one day see one hell of a protest right down there in the state capitol at the city hall, reminding them, you've defrauded us. We are refugees financially, economic refugees. We are flocking off this island and out of the state by the thousands per week, per month, because economic refugees, we can't afford it. We can't make it. Can't afford to get to work. But we have a $10 billion train sitting there like it would be Assad or any other person. All of these behaviors are the same climate, just different geographic location. So, my friends, listeners, and all, I'm begging that get together. Let's turn this government around and those people that are living on the bike path out there in Pearl City, no water, no service, no nothing. And yet, and again, I believe that we should leave our gates open and our borders open to the refugees who have aided us, helped our soldiers, guided us in a foreign land, did their interpretation, risked their lives, risked their families. We should compensate them. And then just have a natural flow of immigrants. But there's something wrong when we're inviting more people and we're enhancing them and we look and we go to why not. I invite all of you and beg you to go to Y and I and go to Blaisdell Park and just go on the bike path and walk in any direction. Please do it. And I think that you will see how shameful it is. So the next time we point a finger at Donald Trump, just remember there's three pointed back at you. You are the problem, not Donald Trump. We can handle Donald Trump. The courts showed us that just recently in upholding that. But let's get some gonads and start speaking about the government here. Let's help our refugees. For years now, it's gotten worse. Anybody out there willing to help? So if you are, let's start a movement. Let's go down and have a sit-in at the state capitol. Willing to do that? So every time you speak about Donald Trump, you should say, I'll give another hour of my life sitting down there and telling my government what to do. So don't get caught up in the trap because our own people are suffering and have been suffering for far, far too long. And we're worried about what Lord Donna is saying. So we'll see you tomorrow or Sunday, next Sunday. And again, this is the Carol Cox Show, and take care.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.